so amazing what we get to witness. You guys may have a seat. We're going to jump right into God's word this morning. Already been such a good day. I love baptism. Man, I love it. It's one of the two things Jesus told us to never forget. Communion, gathering together, remembering him, and then baptizing people. People taking their first step in following Jesus. If you're like new to church, new to Christianity, that's a big deal. It's a simple act, but it is profound. And I just love that Jesus told us to do that. He said, hey, the first step of following me is getting in some water in front of people. And I love that it's kind of weird. I love that it's kind of awkward, but it's such an amazing thing to remember. Like later in life, those of us that have been baptized, if you ever struggle to obey Jesus, if you ever struggle with obedience, which we all do, it's such a great landmark to go back to and remember, no, I can do it. I can say yes. I can do the right thing in this moment because I did then. And then also, I just want to let some of you know, some of you may not have gotten baptized because you've had that, like, there's this myth, like, I'm not ready. Like, oh, I know somebody that was like, man, I need to read the whole Bible before I get baptized. No, you don't. The whole Bible didn't exist back when baptism existed. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, baptism is just that first step. Just like you put the key in the ignition to crank the car. Some of us say, I'm following Jesus, and we're wondering why our vehicle of faith hasn't taken off. It's because we haven't cranked the car of our faith. We haven't taken that first step. But you don't have to be, like, ready. You don't have to have it all together. Some people are like, if I get baptized and I still mess up or I'm still in sin, like, then I need to get baptized. No. Again, baptism is the first step. And I said this in the first service. It's just a symbol. It doesn't save you, but it is a powerful symbol to let everybody know we believe Jesus died and he rose again. Like that, that's why we lift you out of the water. If Jesus just died, well, that's called drowning, but like we would leave you in the water. But because he didn't just die, he rose from the grave, we bring you out of the water. And it's our way of saying, hey, we're not perfect, but we're dying to our old self, to our selfish desires, to our old ways. And when we come out of this water, it's just a way of telling everybody else we're different. We're living for Jesus. It's like this wedding ring. Like when this wedding ring is on, guess what? I'm married, right? But if I do this, am I still married? And when my lady said, amen, right? My wife would be like, you better believe you are, right? It's just a symbol. That's the way it is with baptism. If you've said yes to Jesus, you are saved. But that is the symbol that lets us all know. I like to call it your God jersey. The way you know an athlete's on a team is by what jersey he's wearing. You know what team they're on, right? That lets everybody know I'm on his team. And we are so proud of those. We had 5 people get baptized today. Can we just give God a hand for that? Well, hey, we're just going to jump into God's word today. If you have a Bible, open it up. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter what? 25. Nice. Matthew chapter 25. And as you turn there, 2 quick things for you. One is in the month of June, we're going to be starting a series called Summer Deep Dive. Summer Deep Dive. Do I have any divers? Anybody like scuba dive, snorkel? There's not a lot of that on Lake Michigan, I'm learning. But any boaters in the house? Anybody like to get on the water? Any beachgoers? Anybody appreciate water in any way, shape, or form? Okay, you'll love this summer series. Yeah. But no, in the summers, I like to do a book study where we just kind of jump into one narrative, one book of the Bible. So we're going to be going through the book of Philippians in the month of June. We're going to cover the entire book of Philippians. Some of you are like, whoa, it's 4 chapters. It's just 4 chapters. So we're going to cover a chapter each week. But the cool thing is if you tune in online or if you're joining us here in person every week in the month of June, you will have learned and covered the whole book of Philippians. Great letter. Can't wait to jump into that. And then if it goes well, we may continue the deep dive into July and cover the book of Colossians. Same thing. 4 chapters, 4 weeks. It'll be a great summer. And before we jump into what Matthew chapter 25 says, just kind of a random observation, but summer's coming, right? Spring. Do we even have a spring here? Because I feel like it's just going straight from winter to summer. Anybody? It was like snow, heat. And by the way, this is like, yeah, like that. She said it's so good if you're watching online. Like, I'm from Florida and I do ministry in Jamaica. So summer to me is just like, oh, it's hotter. Great. But like here, oh, I'm grateful for some summer. Anybody grateful for some summer? This is my first Michigan winter. Woo, I've never been more grateful for summer, man. But one of my favorite things in the spring and summer is kind of seeing all the vegetation come back in nature. And one of my favorite things in nature, as random as it sounds, are trees. I just love trees. I don't know, like, I love trees because I've gotten the opportunity to kind of be all over the world to travel with this career of loving Jesus and serving him and preaching. Speaking of that, guys, I'm actually on Wednesday, I'm flying to Ukraine to go and speak at our church over in Kiev. If you didn't know, we're part of the Water's Edge Network. We are a family of churches. And right now, there is a church called Transformation Church in Kiev, Ukraine. And this weekend, next weekend, they're celebrating their 30th year anniversary as a church. And so we're going to go and love on them and honor them. They're putting on a big conference. And over those 30 years, they've planted 12 daughter churches out of that church. And when you give at Overflow, a percentage of every dollar you give goes to help those church plants, not just in Kiev, Ukraine, but we also have churches in Cambodia. We also have a church in Indonesia. We're supporting a church in Nigeria. We're looking at partnering with a church in South America. And I'm kind of partial. You help out an amazing church in the Caribbean. So isn't it cool that, like, when we give, it's not just going to impact what God's doing here in Benton Harbor and St. Joe, but literally around the world? I get so sidetracked, Candy. I'm sorry. Ariana, I'm so stoked for you. That was awesome, man. But while I travel, I get to see a lot of trees. And what I love, I've seen trees in the deserts of Africa. I've seen trees in the jungles of the Amazon. I've seen trees in the plains of Western United States. What I love about trees is they know to grow. Like, right? Like, when you plant the seed, you don't have to go, grow, 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 right? You don't have to tell a tree to grow. A tree, no matter where you plant that seed, will maximize its environment and all of its ability to grow to its maximum potential because it's in the tree's nature to grow. The tree knows to grow. And if you kind of think about trees and how they just know to grow, and even think about other aspects of nature, there's something about God's creation where you can just see this underlying, this embedded instinct where things just know to grow. The title of my message today is exactly that. Know to grow. Everybody say that on the count of three. Say no to grow. One, two, three. No. Nice. We all had different rhythms and tempos. I appreciate that. That was funny. You could tell those that grew up in, like, the Chosen Frozen Baptist Church, we were like, no to grow. And you could tell those that grew up in a gospel church, they were like, no to grow. Like, they had some rhythm to it. But either way, today we're going to know to grow because that's the principle we find right here in Matthew chapter 25. So we're going to jump right in. It starts in verse 14, and it's called the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. Now, if you're not familiar with Jesus, you don't speak Christianese, parable is a made-up story. Jesus would preach and teach. He would teach from the Torah. He would heal people. He would do amazing things. And in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four guys that followed him around, wrote down all of what they saw and most of what they saw Jesus say and do. And often when he was preaching, he would deploy this device called a parable. And a parable is like a metaphor or a simile. What it is, it's a made-up story that Jesus would tell to convey a principle. But the reason he would use parables is because he would try and explain things that we could not understand on our own. Like, how many of you are grateful that you cannot fully understand God? Like, I am so grateful that there's times when I read the Bible and I'll literally read something and be like, what? Like, what is that? And the Bible says, like, as we seek the Lord, as we read scripture, as we turn the gem of his word, we learn and understand nuances of his character. We should grow in the knowledge of God. But no matter how much you grow, no matter how much theology you learn, no matter how much scripture you memorize, you will never be able to fully understand God. Because if you could understand God in your finite human brain, he wouldn't be much of a God. You know what I mean? Like, if we could wrap our human brains all the way around an eternal being that supersedes us and was here before us, he wouldn't be much of a God. And God is like that, and God's kingdom is like that. And so what Jesus is doing right here in Matthew 25, verse 14, is he has given us a parable to help us understand something we can't understand. We cannot fully understand the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is going, hey, there's this thing that you can't even fathom, but because you can't understand it, I'm going to use something, a reference point you can understand to help you catch a glimpse of something you can't. So that's what he's doing here. So, like, even with that, like, teed up, it makes me press in. I'm like, ooh, what is he showing us today?
Because like there's wisdom in these parables. And the Bible says that wisdom was the foundation of the earth. Wisdom was laid before the earth was made. That's why like being a Christ follower is strong. Like you get access to the Holy Spirit. You get access to the wisdom that created the planet, that supersedes the stock market, that supersedes pandemics. Like we get access to things like that. So right here in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, as he tees this up, just realize we're catching a glimpse of something so powerful and profound. So it starts. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like this. For it will be like a man, some translations say a master. It will be like a master or a man going on a journey who called his servants or slaves and entrusted to them his property. So he's saying the kingdom of God's like this. Kingdom of God, there's a master, there's a man, and he's going to go away for a while. But before he does, he's going to entrust his property to the slaves, to the servants. Now, when we hear that, we're like, cool, got it, check. Right? Guy's going to go away. Just like I get a dog sitter, my neighbor helps out, I'm going to trust my dog with you, right? You know, it's cool. That's because we live in America. Most of us, if you're watching online from another country, like our reference point is Western mentality. And Western mentality is one where we have opportunity. Western mentality is one where when we don't like our leader, we vote them out. Western mentality is a very consumeristic mentality. That is not the culture that Jesus was speaking to. Jesus was teaching a first century Jewish audience that existed in a caste system. And a caste system said, if you're a slave, if you were born a slave, you stay a slave. If you were born a servant, you stay a servant. If you were born a property owner, a master, you stay a property owner, a master. You are how you're born and you can't jump caste. That is who you are. And so when Jesus says there's a master, his crowd goes, yep, we understand that. And he says, and there's servants or slaves. And he's like, yep, we get that. Most of us are those, right? And then he says this, and the master entrusted the slaves his own property. And his audience was like, excuse me.
What?
Because that didn't happen. That was not normal. They would entrust a manager. They would entrust their children. But they would not give their own property to slaves. A master and a slave were worlds apart. They did not cross socially. It was a working relationship. They are never the two shall meet. Right here off the bat, Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like a master and a servant. The master's ways are above the servant's ways, just like God's ways are above our ways. So here he's saying the master, God, the servants, the slaves, that's like us. And right here, speaking to his caste system Jewish audience, he's saying the master entrusted his property to the slaves. And the people are going, what? That's an amazing master. Exactly. That's what the kingdom of God is like. We have nothing and God gives us what is his. Life, breath, love, peace, everything we have. So right off the bat, he's saying this is an entirely different paradigm. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Verse 15, to one he gave, everybody say gave on the count of three. One, two, three. Gave. To one he gave 5 talents, to another two, and to another one. To one he gave, in other words, he gifted to them. This is not yours, it is mine, and I am going to gift it to you. This is the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, you have been gifted. You are gifted. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, I'm gifted. Tell him, say, I'm gifted. Tell him, you're gifted. About Gene, yeah, you're gifted. You're gifted. Don't worry. I'm your neighbor. Don't worry. There was no one next to you, so I wanted to help you out. You guys are gifted. You're gifted, my man. Like, you're gifted. Sometimes we need to wake up in the morning and say, I'm gifted. On the count of three, everybody say it or type it in the chat room. One, two, three, I'm gifted, right? We just got to recognize that. You know what? If you're gifted, that means you're a gift. That means any environment you step into, if you're gifted, you bring your gifts. Therefore, you're a gift. That means if you have a job, you're a gift to that job. That means if you have a spouse, you're a gift to that spouse. Ladies, single ladies, Because you're gifted, you are a gift. Never settle for a man that doesn't treat you like a gift. Oh, I can flip it though. Single fellas, you are gifted. Never settle for a woman that doesn't respect you for the gift that you are. We're gifted. And y'all are like, man, how am I gifted? How? You know. Well, the Bible says, first off, if you said yes to Jesus, you're following him like we're seeing today. The Bible says we get the Holy Spirit and there are spiritual gifts. Whoo! We need to do a series on that. Like the gifts of the Spirit. Oh, man, it's amazing. But even like underneath the spiritual gifts, like you're just gifted and you know it. Like you all, this is what I mean. Like, you know, those things you just know how to do. Like those things you're just good at that other people aren't good at. Like some of you can cook. Like you can just cook and you don't know how you learned. You just walk into a kitchen and there's like table scraps and then you give it 30 minutes and there's a 5-star meal. Some of you can just cook. You're just gifted at it. You're just natural with it. Some of you are so good with numbers and math. Like some of us, when we look at numbers and math, we want to run into traffic. Other of you look at numbers and math and you're like Neo in the Matrix. You're just like, I see it. I see the code. I know where this is, right? You're just gifted. You know what you're good? We all have gifts, right? We all have gifts. And one of the number one ways, some of you may be like, man, I'm not sure where my gift is. Guys, that's the way I was. Like, I was kind of one of those guys growing up, jack of all trade, master of none. Like, I could do everything kind of well, but I wasn't like the best at anything. And I love playing sports. And I would say up until the point I was like 18, I was like, sports is what I'm going to do with my life. And then at the age of 18, I looked in the mirror and I was like, ah, probably not. I'm short and not like that, you know, anyways. So I was like, and I love basketball. You're like, really, Corey? It took you till you were 18. But like, so I was like, man, what am I good at? And then I did video and I love editing. I was pretty good at that and all that. But I found my gift in the church because I just raised my hand and I said, hey, I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to volunteer. Started on the drums. Then I started mixing sound. Then I started working on video and all this other stuff. But what happened was I found myself in a small group with like 12 or 15 people. And my worship leader, George Dumain, when I was 19 years old in college at the University of Florida, in this small group of about 15 leaders from across different campus ministries, he looked at me and says, I think Corey has a word for us tonight. And I said, well, God didn't tell me that. And he said, no, Corey, I think God put a word on your heart for us. What are you thinking? And for the first time, somebody passed me the mic. And he believed in me. And I was just like, and I kind of prayed real quick. And I was like, okay, well, I think this is a word for us tonight. And it was my first time speaking, sharing. And then another pastor gave me an opportunity, and another pastor gave me an opportunity. And then I started to exercise that gift. And all of a sudden, I realized I can kind of do this. You know, like it's not arrogant to recognize your gifting. It's not arrogant to recognize that you are gifted and to humbly function in it. But I just wanted to remind some of you today, you are gifted, and because you're gifted, you're a gift. You're a gift no matter what environment you're found in. And so it says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Now a talent was a measurement of money. It's actually a measurement of weight. Modern day equivalent, 1 talent could be anywhere from $7 million to about 150,000, depending on if it was in gold or silver or what he gave. Suffice it to say, it was a lot of money. So to one, he gave 5 talents. And again, if you're the Jewish audience hearing Jesus, you're like, to what slave he gave what? He entrusted a slave with how much of his own money? The kingdom of God is like that. In other words, God is that generous? Like we hear that, we're like 5 talents, cool, because we don't register it. They were like, the kingdom of God is like that? Like, that's like 10 years' wages, more than. And he just gave it to him. But then it says, to one he gave 5, to one he gave 2, and to one he gave 1. Now, point of a parable is to kind of put yourself in the passage, put yourself in the narrative. So if I'm the servants, like imagine it's you. Like if you're the one that got 5, you're probably like, that's right. Y'all saw that, right? He gave me 5. Look at you, 2 and 1. Right? Like sometimes we're tempted to get prideful when God gives us a lot, right? If you're the guy, if you're the brother that got 1, like if you're servant number 1, I'm like, huh, what? Why he get 5? And he, what did I, why do I get, right? Because we have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to compare our talents with other people's talents. We have a tendency to compare our opportunities with other people's opportunities. But what does it say? So we could ask the question, why did one get five? Why did one get two? And why did one get one? Well, it answers it. It said, 20 gave five, 20 gave two, 20 gave one, to each according to his ability. Oh, you mean the kingdom of God is like this, that God is a master and he entrusts us with his stuff. He gives us talents. He gives us things, but it's according to our ability. See, some of us struggle. I say it like this. Some of us struggle with hostility towards other people's ability because we lack humility.
Yeah, it rhymed. Did you get it? Nah, just an easy device to remember.
Some of us struggle with hostility towards others' ability because we lack humility, especially in a social media era. It's so easy to look at what God's doing in other people's lives. Why did she get the ring? Why did she get that opportunity? Why haven't I got the ring, right? No, some of you ladies are like, I want to amen that, but I don't want to out myself, right? Like, right? Like, but we can compare. Why do they keep going on vacations? I want to go on a vacation. Like, how do they keep getting those opportunities? How do they? And what happens is we start to compare our opportunities, our talents with other people's. But how many of you know this? A blessing beyond your ability is actually a curse. A blessing beyond our ability is actually a curse. This stage has a weight limit, right? It can only handle so much. If all of a sudden we overload the stage, though it may look great, it won't be long before it comes crumbling down. Our lives are like that. God has given us all abilities, and it's according to that ability into which we can exercise that ability that he then blesses us with talents, with opportunities, with resources. Are y'all tracking with me here? And a blessing beyond what you can handle will crush you. Joshua, the book of Joshua says that God gave Joshua good success. So if God gives good success, that means there can actually be bad success. There can be success that looks good to the world that's actually bad for you because it is beyond what God has readied you to handle, and it won't be long before it crushes you. I don't know about you, but I am so grateful that God knows my ability and he doesn't bless me with opportunity or platform beyond what I can handle, because opportunity and platform when you're not ready just exposes who you really are. I've had that happen in my life. I've been elevated. We talked about this in church. I've been elevated on the platforms that my character wasn't ready for. And man, it showed. But it reminds me that God blesses according to our ability. And so he gave them all their different talents, five, two, and one. And then he went away. And then he went away. When I was studying this, it never occurred to me, because I always, when I read this passage and teach this passage, we put ourselves in the servants and the slave's shoes. Because that's who we are in this story. God is the master, we're the followers, we're the servants, we're the slaves. But I realized right there's some really good leadership principles in the kingdom of God. The master is the master leader. The master, the guy in this story, is the kingdom of God, he's God. So if you want to learn about good leadership, find out how God leads. Find out how Jesus leads. And how does God lead here? It says he's a master that entrusted his property, entrusted his opportunity, entrusted what he had to the servants. And then he went away. Anybody ever served under a micromanaging boss? They're like, hey, I want you to take this project. Hey, I want you to do this thing. Hey, and they're like, but hey, could you do it this way? And can I find out tomorrow how you're doing it? And you know what? Why don't we just do it together? You might know, why don't you just give it back to me? And you're like, what are we doing here? Right? Good leadership is find good people, hand them responsibility, opportunity, and then step away and see what they do with it. See how they steward the opportunity. That's good parenting. At some point, you got to kick the bird out of the nest. And if they don't fly, you bandage them up and work on it again, right? Like, at some point, we have to let people make decisions for themselves and see what they do with the opportunity. That is good leadership. Just a word for some of you business owners or managers today, anybody that's a leader, which is all of us, we're all leading a marriage, we're all leading a family, we're all leading a career, we're all, if we're Jesus followers, we make disciples, therefore we're leading people. A word for somebody today may be let go. Let go and watch them work. Said the master went away, fully let go. Hey, here's my property, millions of dollars worth, to a slave. You have no educational training, you have no right, you have no merit to get this. Here, I'm out. And he goes away, and let's see what happens. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. 100% return. How many of you would love 100% return on any investment you make? If you are not clapping or raising your hand, you don't understand finance. Like, a 5 to 10% return is great if you're financial. Like, if you invest in the stock market, millennials, we're spoiled. Like, we do this whole cryptocurrency thing, and like, it'll go from like 40 cents to $40, and people are making like hundreds of thousands. And we're like, that's investing. That's not investing. That's a fad, but it would be amazing if it continued. But here, he gets like crypto returns. He's like, whoa, 100% return, 5. What? 5 more, right? That boy went to work. And then it says, so also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. 100% return. Verse 18. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts. So the master comes back. Hey, how are we doing? What happened with my money? What happened with what I gave you? Verse 20, and he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Wapow! Here, that's in my Bible. It's not in yours, the wapow. But here, I have made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You ever heard that before? If you read your Bible, you know Jesus is pointing us towards the day of judgment. I don't know if you know this, but when we die, to put it in a simple version, kind of like the next day, you stand before the Lord and you give accounts for how you lived this life, for how you stewarded the gifts he gave you. It's just like this master here. When we die, we stand before the Lord and it's as if God goes, so what'd you do with it? What'd you do with it? What'd you do with the gifts and resources I gave you? What'd you do with it? And we give accounts for what we did, how we live. We give accounts, I don't know if you know this, but we give accounts for all we did wrong. Some of you are like, that's terrifying. It is. But you know what's cool about that moment? It's put up before everyone. This is all that Corey did wrong. And y'all would be like, he's an awful person. And I'd be like, I am. And then God would say, what do you have to say for that? And I'd be like, I'm with him, Jesus. And God transfers my account to him on the cross and transfers his account to me. That's righteousness. That's imputation of righteousness. Oh, it's such a good exchange. And in that moment, if I've given life all I can, fallen and broken, covered by the blood of Jesus, God looks at me and says, well done. He will look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. So he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Y'all see that? Again, we're learning about the kingdom of God. So if you want more in life, how do you get it? Be faithful over what you have. We just read it. That was not a rhetorical question, right? Be faithful with a little and you'll be given more. That's just a kingdom principle. We joke around, like, I'll just tell an amazing, we have an amazing volunteer leader here named Noah Zelvis. Do y'all know Noah? He plays bass sometimes, just an awesome guy. So like, I was just getting to know Noah. Noah was put on my radar as like an up-and-coming leader at our church. And I was like, sweet, that's awesome. And so Noah comes on Monday mornings at 10 a.m. to our leadership team meeting. He doesn't have an official leadership position, but we knew Abby, Pastor Chad's wife, who's our communications director, would be going on maternity leave soon. So we're like, who are some high-level volunteers that could step in and fill Abby's shoes while she's gone? Noah's name came up. And I was like, great. You know what I gave to Noah first as a responsibility, as a leadership responsibility? When we remodeled this auditorium, Noah was in charge of the baseboards. I said, hey, Noah, you're in charge of the baseboards. And he didn't go, really, bro? I'm a professional writer. I'm a grown man. I can do more than baseboards, right? No, no, he goes, okay, got it. You know why I gave Noah the baseboards? To see if he would be faithful with little. Are they going to get done on time? Are they going to be done well? Are they going to be painted well? Like, are they good? It's a little task. Is he above it? Is it beneath him? Or is he faithful with it? Noah did great. He was faithful with it as a grown man with baseboards. And so guess what? He's running half of Abby's ministry now as a volunteer leader. And he's just been given more and more. That is a leadership principle you find all throughout Scripture. Children, you want more freedom in your household? Be faithful and respectful with what you have and watch how those chains that feel like chains loosen up. It's amazing. I was in high school. I wasn't a partier. I wasn't a drinker. I really loved Jesus. And I'm not like patting myself on the back. But like I remember my friends, my parents didn't give me a curfew my junior and senior year. And some people be like, you had bad parents. They were like, no. Because you know when I'd come back late, it was because we were having a Bible study till 1 a.m. Or we were out leading worship in a town 2 hours away. And my parents, like sometimes my dad was like, do something wrong. Like, but you get a long leash when you're faithful with what you've been given. This is a kingdom principle. And here it says he rewards the guy with five. He says, enter into my joy, into the joy of your master. I will set you over much. Verse 22. And he also, the guy who had two talents, came forward saying, master, you delivered me two talents. Here I made you two talents more. Whoop-pow! 100% return. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter in the joy of your master. Now, what'd you hear there? Exact same words. Now, if I was the guy that had five and I doubled five to 10, and then this guy had two and he doubled two to four, I'm going, yo, I got you 10. He only got you four. Why does he also get the same words and the same reward I get? It's because God, this is a kingdom principle that'll blow your mind. God doesn't look at the amount, he looks at the percentage. That is a kingdom principle all throughout the Bible. He doesn't look at the number, the amount, he looks at the percentage. And both the five guy maximized his ability and doubled what he had. The two guy maximized his ability and doubled what he had. In other words, you're only responsible for what God has given you. You're not responsible for what God's given somebody else. You're not responsible to do what other people can do. You're only responsible for what God has given you. I mean, there's this concept of like tithing, you know, we'll talk about in church, and that's where we return 10% of everything we make to the Lord as a way to say where your treasure is, your heart is also. So out of obedience, I'm going to put you first and give this to you. And there's a moment in the New Testament where Jesus comes into the temple and there are these rich guys bringing bags of money and laying it at the front of the church and making these loud noises. And then there's this little widow on the side. And this older woman widow, she comes and lays the equivalent of like half a penny on the altar in quiet. And Jesus looks at his disciples and said, I tell you the truth, this woman has given more than all of them combined. And the disciples said, what are you smoking? They didn't say that, but they said, what are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. You see all this money? That was half a penny. And he said, no. She gave all she had. In other words, she gave 100%. It's funny to me, just church culture-wise, sometimes we'll have people give $100,000 a year to a church. Not here. If anybody's rolling like that, come on, somebody. But like, I don't think we've had those gifts yet. But some churches I've worked at, we've had professional athletes, we had actors, we have large business owners, and people will give $100,000 a year. And sometimes churches and pastors will be like, you're so generous. If they made $1 million, that's not generosity. That's just obedience. If you make $1 million and you give 100 grand to God, it's the same as somebody that made 10 grand and gave one. You are not more generous than them. You're just obedient. That's it. Isn't that amazing? God only expects of you out of what he's gifted and given you the ability to do. That's so relieving to me. It's not this comparison game. And we got to stop comparing, especially in a day of social media again. We just jump on social media and we compare and we compare and we compare and we compare. And God's just going, hey, what have I given you? What have I given you? And what I love about this is one guy turns it to 5 to 10, and he's a faithful servant. Another guy goes from 2 to 4, and he's a faithful servant. And then he who had also received the one talent came forward and said, Master, what had happened was, also my translation, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I like the Message translation. I think it's actually a little bit more accurate. It says the third one, servant number one, says, I thought you were. He misunderstood the character of the master. He got it wrong. So he said, I was afraid you were like this. I thought you were like this. Verse 25, so I was afraid. You gave me something. You gave me opportunity. You gave me money. You gave me breath and life. You gave me the very day that we're living today, but I was afraid I would mess up. I was afraid I would lose it. So I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here. You didn't lose anything, God. Here, you didn't lose anything, Master. So here, have what's yours. Hear how the master responds to this. Verse 26, but his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. Another translation says, you evil and lazy man. But we would say, but he didn't lose it. He didn't lose it. Wasn't that faithful? He gave him back what was his. You wicked and lazy servant. If you thought that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed, then you ought to have at least invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. Hear this. So take the talent from him, the one with one, and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And everybody was like, amen. That sounds awesome, Corey. Weeping and gnashing of teeth is also said about hell. It's a sign of torment. And I don't know about y'all, but like as I read that, like I feel bad for brother number one. I feel bad for the number one guy. Like, I have this underdog mentality. I always cheer on the underdog, you know? But you know why I feel bad for him? Because it never says to increase your money. Did y'all catch that? The master never told them to grow the investment. It didn't say the master gave them 5, 2, and 1 and said, grow it, and I'll be back. He didn't say it. So brother number one didn't do anything wrong explicitly, but that's what Jesus is trying to teach in this parable. In the parable of the talents, he is showing us that in the kingdom of God, there is an implicit expectation. You have to know to grow. In other words, what gift has God given you today? To be faithful with that gift is to grow it. Yes. To not grow it is to be wicked and evil. What? What does that mean? What does that mean? Everything God has given a Christ follower, we should look to increase it. We, like a tree planted, no matter where we're at, to the best of our ability, should look to increase everything that God puts in our hand. And here's the best part. He shouldn't have to tell you to do it. We should just know. Christ followers, that's one of the main ways people should identify us in this world. When we take a job, we don't do the bare minimum. I show up at 8:59, I'm 1 minute early, and at 5:01, I'm ouchie, right? Like, we're not those people. We're not doing just the bare minimum. We're not number one going, oh, I'm afraid I'd mess it up, or I don't want to spend my time here. We're saying, God, whatever you have given me, I will grow it. How many of you that lead a company? How many of you that have ever led a team? You want to lead people like this. When you hand something to somebody, you don't want them to bring it back the same. You want them to grow it, to put their spin on it, to put the mojo on it, like bring it back better. Like when we hand somebody a ministry here at Overflow Church, like with Joel and this creative team, if when we got here, it was like five people on the creative team. A year from now, if there's five people on the creative team, guess what we're saying about Joel? You wicked and slothful servant. No, I wouldn't be that harsh. But would he have done his job? No, because what do we want? Here's a creative team, right? Okay, well, 6 months from now, we have two drummers and three bassists. Not only that, but we're working on an original song. Hey, can we do a worship night? Hey, not only that, but we're building community in it. You hand it to me, I will grow it. That's what we want in business. But again, it's not just a kingdom principle. God has given us a life principle here. He's giving you a cheat sheet to success in this world. When somebody hands a Christ follower something, we go, watch me work. I'll be back. Watch what I do with this small group. Those three people that signed up, give us 2 months. Watch. Watch what God's going to do in these relationships. Watch what God's going to do in this community. And I'm not just saying numerical growth. This is not works-based faith. This isn't saying, oh, God handed me stuff, so I have to prove to him that he loves me. What it's saying is God has handed me stuff, so since I get stuff for free from God to honor and glorify God all the more, I'm going to give it all I got for his glory. That's why we want to grow as a church. We don't want to grow as a church so that we can have a big church. That's not the point. We want to grow as a church because we want to fill up heaven. Like, forget about the name Overflow or Water's Edge or Zeal. All those are just fun little labels that don't matter. What matters is Jesus and his kingdom and us maximizing everything we can for his glory. But again, I want you to see it today. Good and faithful was to know to grow. So we can land the plane here. What gift has God given you? And which servant are we today? Are we like servant two and three? God that got five, God that got two? We just take whatever God's given us and we're trying to maximize it for his glory. We're just giving it everything we got. If God gives you a man, make him a husband. Grow him. If God gives you a woman, make her a wife. Grow her. If God's blessed you with a child, grow them into an adult. By the way, our job isn't to raise children. Our job is to raise adults. Big difference in mentality. If God's given you an idea, turn it into a business. If God's given you a glimpse, like turn it into a ministry, turn it into a nonprofit. Whatever he has given you today, grow it. But why didn't servant number one grow it? He was afraid. And it said, because he was afraid, he buried his talent. And then he exposed his fear. Christ followers, Overflow Church today, I would say the kingdom of God, we got to flip that. In the kingdom of God, we bury our fears under the foot of the cross. The Bible says, 2 Timothy 1:7, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. When you feel afraid, that is not of God. He's given you a spirit of power. Everybody say power. He's given you a spirit of love. Everybody say love. And he's given you a spirit of a sound mind. Say sound mind. That's who you are. That's what you've been given. So when you feel afraid, instead of burying your talent and exposing your fear, rather take that fear, acknowledge it. God, I'm afraid of messing up. God, I'm afraid of getting it wrong. God, I'm afraid, I'm insecure, but I'm going to take my fear and I'm going to bury it under the cross and I'm going to expose the talent you've given me and give you everything I have with it. And I know you've given me all I need. And just to the best of my ability, in all humility, God, I'm going to give it to you. What is he giving you today? Like for us, like I just tell you, like I've been here since November. And I'm like, he has given us a building. What? Guys, I lead a church in Kingston, Jamaica. We would kill for this. I mean, I would kill. No, I wouldn't really kill somebody. Just whatever's less than that, right? And they're like, I am so jealous that we have this building. But look at the seat next to you. You know what that shows us? We have a greater ability. We have greater ability and opportunity. So let's maximize what God has given us. Not so people can champion Overflow or for his glory. And then when we do it, this is the best part. God, whatever you gave me, you gave me a spouse. We turned it into a legendary marriage. It was tough, but we made it through it. And let me also say that it takes time to grow things. it says he was gone for a long time. Some of us are like, God, I'm trying. And he's going, keep trying. I haven't come back yet. That means you still have time to grow it. If you're not dead and he hasn't come back, it's not over. You still have time to grow it. You still have time to grow it. Know to grow. And as we grow and as we grow, what I love about God is he said, great, I gave you 5, you grew it to 10. Now enter into my peace and enter into my joy. And oh, by the way, I have more in store for you. I have more in store. Just know to grow. Can we all stand together as we finish out our service today? Father, thank you for the truth in this word. God, I just thank you that you're a good master, that you're a good God, that you're a good King, that you're generous with us. God, that you gift us talents and abilities. God, that you gave us your son, Jesus. God, that you give us chance after chance after chance. God, just thank you that you are giving, generous God. And God, today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, everybody watching online, God, if anybody's been struggling with their view of you, if they had the wrong concept of you, like servant number one, like they think you're wicked and evil and judgmental, God, today I pray that you would break that. That you would remind them through this truth that you're good and you love them and you have gifts for them. And God, for all of us, as we go into this last song, I pray that you would remind us where you have gifted us. I pray that you would enable us to dig up those gifts we buried, God. God, and help us to bury our fears under the foot of the cross. And God, expose what you've given us. And God, help us to get over insecurity. Help us to take courage, God. Help us to look embarrassment and shame and all that in the face and say, I don't care. I'm going to give it my all for God. And thank you, God, when we do that, when we're faithful. You are faithful. You're faithful even when we're not. And we thank you that in the highs and lows, no matter what's going on, Jesus, it's all worth it because it's for you. In your name we pray and sing. Amen.